I promised you last week that I would continue in the message we started last week called Behind the Scenes. Then during the week, some different things were coming to me. But I said, no, I'm going to stick to my word. And I'm going to finish because there are a couple of more points we want to make in Behind the Scenes, because that's where the action is. See, right now I'm speaking and you're hearing me clearly. It's because the folks on what I refer to as the tech team or media department, they're behind the scenes doing what's necessary so that the words that come out of my mouth can get into your ears. But we don't see that. We just experience the results. But every time I come here, my trust, my hope, my faith is not in what I see. I see a microphone is, I know they have things in place and they'll do whatever needs to be done so that my voice can amplify through this room. I know that. That's the way we need to be about our Father and the things that He says to us. We may not see them, we may not see the promises, but we need to know that the power necessary to bring the promise to fruition is at work behind the scenes. And you need to trust that. Would you go to 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, King James verse? It says, we're troubled on every side. Say, I know that. Yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. This is telling us that our focus as Christians, children of the Most High God, joint heirs with Jesus, should never be on what may be wrong in our life or what we may be going through. That should never be the focus. Never. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because Jesus told us it was going to happen. Did he not say, in this world, you will have tribulations? One translation says distresses. I don't like that. How many of us like distresses? You could do without them. Pastor Clinton taught us the one way you can get out of going through any stuff here on the earth, and that's to die and go home. When people tell me, Pastor, I'm going through this, I said, congratulations, you're alive. And not only are you alive, you can handle it. That's right, Minister. Because the Bible tells us He's not going to allow us to go through that which we're not able to bear. So if you're going through it, you can handle it. But there's a little tagline that I add to it. If you're going through it, you can handle it if you want to. If you don't want to handle it, fall to pieces. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not good at jigsaw puzzles. I'm going to send you to the manufacturer. If something goes wrong with our motor, with our vehicles, we take it to Ford. You know why? They made it. So they're the ones that are best equipped to correct anything that's wrong with it. So if there's a malfunction in your life and you come to me, I'm sending you back to the manufacturer. Not because I don't care, but it's because I do care. And it's something that there's a misconception about pastors that I need to clear up. We didn't make you. So we can't change you. What we do is point you to the one who can make the change. I remember once, I wasn't always a nice, sweet guy. I know you never could tell that. But my temperament was, I went from cool, calm to raging hot in 6.2 milliseconds. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you. And one day I got upset about something I perceived that my wife did. And I was ready to go, but I said, I'm not doing that. I went to another room and I walked around the table going like this and saying, God, you said I could take all my cares and put them at your feet. So I'm giving them to you and I'm going back in the bedroom. And if I'm still mad when I get in there, you didn't do your job. That's what I told them. I was being honest. I went in the room. I wasn't mad anymore. I couldn't wait to get to church to tell Pastor Sarah. Actually, I wanted to tell Pastor Clinton, but he was tied up, so I went to Pastor Sarah. And I'm like, guess what? She said, you sure look like you're pleased with yourself. I said, yes, ma'am. This is what happened, and this is what I did, and I didn't get mad. I wanted to go, that's, I got, Gregory, you need to go to God and find out why you get mad in the first place. You just strutting around saying you control. Did you ever stop to think you might lose control? I went, Now, her purpose wasn't to make me feel small. Her purpose was to get truth into my knucklehead. That you get rid of what? Why? If you get rid of it, why is there anything left to control? I had to learn how to do this. Let things go. I'm still not there 100%. I believe I'm much better than I was. But I'm telling you that to let you know we're talking about choices we need to make based on the unseen, or I should say based on what's going on behind the scenes with us. Sometimes I wish God would just open it up and show us his shop, so to speak. And what happens when a thought comes in and we say the right word, what he has to do to get rid of that thought. You know, if we could just see how it works, but then again, then we fall into the same category as Thomas. We don't want to believe because we've seen. We want to believe because he said. That's what we want. And if he said it, we want to believe it. So our focus, the Holy Ghost told me this, I thought it was good. He said, our focus should be making sure that the life of Christ given to me, given to us, becomes manifested in us. See, Minister Phyllis and I had a conversation over, what was it, brunch? Brunch yesterday. And we were talking about wisdom. How many of you know wisdom is the principal thing? And it says get wisdom, but when you think about that, who is wisdom? Where is Jesus? So we already have. What we need to do is learn how to tap into it. Learn how to tap in. And in thinking about that, I'm going to share this in the same 1 John 2, verse 20 out of the Amplified Bible. I'm going to share it in that same vein. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, listen to this, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us illuminates our minds and guides us from error. We already have all the truth that we will ever need in us. We already have it. We have to learn how to let it manifest in our lives. But we already have it. It says that we are specially gifted. We've been given a special gifting. That means we've been endowed with special powers, special qualities, special attributes, and we have to learn how to zoom in on that which is in us instead of what's going on around us. We have this thing backwards. We focus in on what's going on around us, hoping that God puts something in us so that we can deal with it. He's already put something in us, and we can deal with it. We need to just stop looking at it from a worldly perspective and look at it from what's going on inside of us. Look at it in terms of the anointing and the special giftings that he's given us. Why did he give us special gifts? To deal. And we have to learn how to zoom in on it. We want, oh, I like this. That's what he told me about 2:30 this morning. We want to place all our emphasis on the anointing, not the annoying. Say, my emphasis needs to be on the anointing, not the annoying. See, you can't see the anointing, but we certainly can see the annoying. But just because we can't see it, we need to know that it's there. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, for we walk by and not by those listening, we walk by faith and not by sight. The Passion Translation, listen to this. Same scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. I didn't have time to put it together and get it to him to show you. But I've had it for years, two pictures. One, you look at it, and it looks like it's a very aged lady. Then you turn it upside down, looks like a very beautiful princess. Same drawing, nothing changed. The only thing that changed was your perspective and how you looked at something. You can choose to see beauty in everything if you want to. If you want to. It's for we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, in the passage, I'm going to share this again a little later. We don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal, and that's where our focus needs to be. On that which is eternal. It's funny, it's a multi-billion-dollar business changing the way we look because we want to look good to people that are seen when we are seen. You know, it's funny, I say I go to the barber to get a haircut, but it's really to get a scalp shave. But there are a couple of different places I go, depending on what type of I want. Then how? You can mess it up if you don't know what you're doing. But there's one I go to, I call it the kid, because it's basically a kid, 17, 18-year-old, starting out. And I go there and talk with him. But if I want to make sure all the details are taking place, I have someplace else I go, where all those details are taking place to my satisfaction. But I know the difference. So what's your point? My point is we spend more money working on our appearance when we need to be working on what's going on inside of us, because it's the inward man. That's why the Bible says don't let it be adorning and all that. He's not saying don't look good, but he's saying don't put your focus on that. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. 2 Kings 6, Amplified Classic. You need to read the whole story of Elisha and his servant, and the king got upset because Elisha was getting his business from God and telling the king's enemy, and he wanted to take Elisha out. Just a quick overview. So the Syrian king sent their horses, chariots, and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. So they found out where Elisha was in, I think it's Dothan. Dothan, D-O-T-H-A-N. I tried to find out, I wouldn't know how big the city was, and they don't put that information in now. And after about 20 minutes, I stopped. But the servant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, he rose early and went out. Behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. Elisha's servant says to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elijah answered, "Fear not, for those with us are more than those with them." Now, I can imagine that servant's face. He's like, these three and everybody else is around us? And you're saying there's more with us? You're not supposed to drink wine that early in the morning, Elisha. But Elisha, undaunted, he didn't get upset about it. He didn't get frustrated or flustered or anything. He prayed, "Lord, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. This caused me to stop and think. Around Elisha. I looked up every translation I could find, and everyone said all of those chariots of fire and things were around Elisha. It didn't say around them. It didn't say around him. All of that protection was around Elisha. And I'm like, "Lord, why is that?" He said, "That's the one who was believing." That's telling me, folks, that everything we need is available to us, and if we don't see it, it's because we're not believing. Everybody, the chariots of fire all around Elisha. I'm wondering what's going through his servant's mind. That's why you got to get close to the anointing and stay there believing in it, because that's where your protection is. The unseen activities were surrounding Elisha, the one who was believing, the one who was trusting, the one who was expecting, the one who wasn't worried about a thing. Why? He was on assignment. On assignments for God, so that means God is the one responsible for his safety and well-being. He knew that. His servant didn't. And something else happened. When the Syrians started to come down, because they didn't see the chariots of fire, all they saw was Elisha, and they're like, "Here he is, okay, let's get him." Elisha didn't run and hide. He said, "Lord, smite these people with blindness, I pray you." And God smote them with blindness as Elisha asked. Why? Elisha was in that zone. He was focusing on the things unseen. He was focusing on his assignment, so he was in constant communications with his commanding officer. And it's just like you're in the military and you're in a firefight and you need some assistance. You call on your radio, give them the coordinates, and next thing you know, missiles are coming to bombard that area so that you can be safe. That's what happened with Elisha. So they're looking for me. Let's see if they can find me. If they can't see, Second Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 18 in the Passion Translation. Though we experience every kind of pressure, how many different kinds? We are not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. When LCA was in session, I taught a chapel lesson. And that chapel lesson was what? What was it? Was not a failure, is not an option. And we talked about all those things that God has done for them. And with all those things that God had done, failure is not an option. I saw one of the students some years after that, and they were telling me what they accomplished. And I marveled. I said, oh, that's great. And, wow, that's amazing. He said, amazing? Don't you remember, Mr. Carr? I said, what? Failure is not an option. I said, you're right. So though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. Verse 10, we continually share in the death of Jesus in our own body so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. We consider living to mean that we are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. So then death is at work in us, but it releases life in you. We have the same spirit of faith that's described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith, but then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then speak in faith. We do this because we are convinced. We do this because we are convinced. We do this because we are convinced that he who raised Jesus will raise us up with him, and together we will all be brought back into his presence. Yes, all things work for your enrichment so that more of God's marvelous grace will spread to more and more people, resulting in an even greater increase of praise to God, bringing him even more glory. So no wonder we don't give up. For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inward being is renewed every day. We view our sight, short-lived troubles, in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal weighty glory far beyond all comparison. It's in how you see the things that you're going through. They're either problems or opportunities. What do you mean I should praise God when I'm going through some afflictions? Thank you, Lord. This is a great opportunity for me to demonstrate how great you are in my life. Simple. And you feel better. Isn't that better than saying, oh, Lord, my so much pain. I don't know how much more of this I can take. It says, thank you, Lord. This is a testimony of your faithfulness. You told me this would happen. You said many of the afflictions, would you deliver me out of them all? You told me with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I was healed. You wouldn't tell me these things if nothing was ever going to happen to me. So since you said it would happen, I'm going to do what you said to do about it. And this tragedy will become a testimony of your faithfulness. Because I'm focusing on the things which are not seen. Because I'm trying to stay in the spirit realm where everything is eternal. Romans 4:17. Amplify Classic. talking about Abraham, he said, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. So he God is telling us, he focuses on the unseen as if they're the seen. And we should do the same thing because we're his children. Jesus said to Thomas, because Thomas said, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm like, that's gross. Why would you want to do that? But unless I put my hand in his side and I see and examine the nail prints, I won't believe. He was saying, I don't have any faith. To me, seeing is believing. And Jesus showed up and let him put his hand in his side and examine his hand. And then Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Jesus said, uh-huh. No, he didn't say that. He said, you're blessed because you believed because you saw. Blessed are you when you believe without seeing. You're blessed when you hear the word and believe it and act on it before you see any results. That's when you're blessed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't see Jesus in the furnace before they went in. But what did they say? Our God will deliver us. Because the king says, who is the God that will deliver you out of my hand? Our God will, king. He'll deliver us from this furnace. I love the Message Bible. And anything else you can cook up. And you know something, king? Even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're still not bowing down. They were so convinced on what's going on behind the scenes. They now, I don't know who went in first. Let's say it's Shadrach. But the other two, Meshach and Abednego, saw Shadrach go in the furnace, and they saw the guards burn up. The guards seen their two buddies throw in the first prisoner and then get incinerated. You're up next. But you are so terrified of this king, you do it anyway. So for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to defy the king, when they said that, I'm sure all the people there were like, whoa, they're going to get it now. They were right. They got it. Deliverance. But all they saw was fire. And they had to go into the fire, folks. God didn't extinguish the fire before they got in. They had to go into the fire. And the king says, we threw three in, didn't we? Yes, king, we did three. I see four. Nobody was going to tell him he was miscounting. Because then it would have been five. But he said, I see four moving around. I don't hear any screams. And wait a minute. The fourth one looks like the Son of God. How did he know that? He didn't believe. But that circumstance changed and God gave him vision to let him know just who he was dealing with. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stayed in the fire until the king called them out. How many of you would have stayed in? You don't have to raise your hand. Like Brother Gee says, Dr. Gee, it's not an altar call. You don't have to raise your hand. This makes me laugh every time it happens. It could be a nice, bright, sunny day, and a weather report comes, in 2 days, you're going to have a blizzard and it's going to drop 18 inches of snow. Immediately, we get up and flock to the supermarkets, the discount stores, buying rock salt, snow. How many snow shovels do you need? Water, milk, bread, all those things gone. Then nothing happens and you get mad. What am I going to do with all this food? Why didn't you check in with your father and ask him what you are supposed to do? But we talk about the weathermen and how they're so inaccurate, but the minute they say something, we follow their instructions. Severe storm coming. Make sure you have batteries, and even though the storm hadn't manifested, but you acted based on the report that it was going to happen. We had a picnic going to the village upon a Sunday after service, and the weather looked threatening. But I got, and Minister Phillips got, it's not going to rain. And we told the people, it's not going to rain. Some got into heated discussions as to whether or not they should put the food out because it's going to rain. I said, we said it's not going to rain. So we left to go get food. And when we were coming back, it was bright. The sun was out all around our property. On the property, it was raining. And I looked and I said, see, all this disagreement caused rain to come. It's not raining anywhere else in the county. But at 382 Cranberry Road, it was raining. Like Claire Huxley would say, you want to take them, just slap them. People weren't, they were not in agreement. All around, dry as a bone. Hebrews 11, I'm going to read a few verses here. I have 7 minutes. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice to offer God than his brother Cain. And God declared him righteous because of his offering of faith. By his faith, Abel still speaks instructions to us today, even though he's long dead. Faith lifted Enoch from this life, and he was taken up into heaven. He never had to experience death. He just disappeared from this world because God promoted him. For before he was translated into the heavenly realm, his life had become a pleasure to God. How many of you want your life to be such a pleasure to God, he just brings you home? And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. So every act that we do that doesn't include faith is not pleasing to our Father. And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For when we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him, faith opened Noah's heart to receive revelation. You need faith to receive revelation. And warnings from God about what was coming, even things he had never been that had never been seen. What things? Rain. Floods. Boats. Like Bill Cosby's version. What's a cubit? And things, what did his neighbor say? What is this? An ark. An ark? You want to get out of my driveway? I got to go to work. He didn't care about any of those things. All he knew is that God said, build this thing. He stepped out in reverent obedience to God and built an ark that would save him and his family. By his faith, the world was condemned, but Noah received God's gift of righteousness that comes by believing. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. Think about that. I know I read it quickly. I'll read it again slower. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. We have to have faith to leave what is familiar and what is comfortable so we can receive what God has for us. So we can wind up where God wants us. But if we're busy holding on to what we have and using the excuse, well, I have to be a good steward. No, you have to be good with obedience. Because a good steward is a good steward because they're obedient to what God said. Not what E.F. Hutton said. He lived by faith as an immigrant in his promised land as though it belonged to someone else. He journeyed through the land living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were persuaded that they were also co-heirs of the same promise. His eyes of faith were set on the city with unshakable foundations, whose architect and builder is God himself. Sarah's faith embraced the miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith, I like that statement, the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. We need to learn how to tap into God's faithfulness. You don't get there looking at your circumstances. In fact, so many children were subsequently fathered by this aged man of faith, one who was as good as dead, that he now has offspring as innumerable as the sand on the seashore and as the stars in the sky. Something really good is coming up. These heroes all died still clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that had been promised them. Now listen to this. But they saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of the promises, and gladly embraced it from afar. They didn't see the horizon, folks. They saw beyond the horizon. Now, you have to appreciate that. You have to understand what a horizon is. It's that line where it looks like the earth and the sky meet, which suggests that there's a distance that you can't go past. This word tells us that they saw beyond that distance and put their faith and embraced what they saw from afar. They lived their lives on earth as those who belong to another realm. We do. The realm of the invisible. The eternal realm. They had faith in what was taking place behind the scenes, out of public view, in secret. Oops. As I told you, share with you on Sunday, the disciples had facts. They were eyewitnesses to Jesus' death and burial. But their faith was so strong, it could not be undetermined by facts. They still had to believe that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. In Romans 4, verse 20, I think this may be the last one I share with you. Remember I said maybe. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God, he was convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise. So Abraham glorified God. He couldn't see God. He never saw God. Yet he was convinced that the God who he's never seen had all the power that he'd never seen to fulfill a promise that he hadn't seen. He placed all of his faith in the unseen because he knew the unseen realm is where God was. And he was putting his faith in God, and that's what we need to do. We call in $80,000 each week. Have we seen it in the spirit realm? The answer should be a resounding yes. Whatever God said concerning this ministry, you have to see it by faith and act like it's so. Abraham, he didn't see God. And he paid no attention to the facts and placed all his trust on the promise. Okay. I'll close with this. Colossians 2. Verse 8. Starting at verse 8, Passion Translation. Boy, I went from 7 minutes to out of time. Time is filled with swift transition. Let me tell you about behind-the-scene activity that's constantly at work, and then I'll quit. Well, I'm not going to quit. I'll just end for today. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. We just went through that for 8 years. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the Anointed One. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ the Anointed One has accomplished for us. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from the death realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp, but now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all of our sins. That's why you can feel loved. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Cannot be retrieved. Can you handle one more scripture? Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. This means that resurrection power is always at work in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's that song? And now we share the resurrection power with him. I'm not going to sing anymore. Whatever needs to happen right now to resurrect your healing is happening. Right now. Whatever needs to happen to resurrect your family is happening right now. Whatever it takes, whatever you need, whatever power you need to resurrect your finances, it's happening right now. Right now, that resurrection life is at work in you right now. Stand up. Okay, stand up. Stand up, throw your hands in and say, I got it. I got it right now. I got it. Yeah, just receive it all right now, right now, right now. Hallelujah. Say, it's mine. I have that resurrection power. I have lived that resurrection life. It's in me, operating, taking place in me right now. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We have to focus on what's happening behind the scenes. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for sharing this simple truth with us, that we know that it's not what we see, but it's the unseen that should have our focus. That unseen realm, that spiritual realm, that eternal realm where you dwell, where all your promises come from. And we thank you, Father, that we have faith, so we're always pleasing to you. And our faith is going to take that which was put into us and allow it to be manifested through us, so that the world will see that we're your children and that you take care of us. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's going to remind us of everything that we heard this morning and give us the revelation we need to operate effectively in the revelation that we received. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Before we enter into communion, is there anyone here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior? We're talking about faith. But Jesus told us, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father lest they come through me. Period. You know you need God. In order for you to get to God, you need to receive his Son. Because the Son is the one that allows you access to God. So, well, how do I receive his Son? Well, the Bible is very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be saved. And not just saved, meaning having eternal life. That word is sozo. It's eternal life, health, prosperity, everything that you need to be prosperous is in that word, sozo. And that's what you get when you receive Christ, you receive sozo. And I know some may think, well, I believe everybody's going to heaven. Well, you're partly right. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's not going to stay in heaven. Those who have received Jesus Christ as Savior will go stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what they did with the wisdom and anointing and special anointing that we receive. Those that have not will have to stand before the white throne judgment. And I believe it's really a courtesy. Because when you think about it, when God asks you, why wouldn't you receive his Son? What answer could you give God that would cause him to say, I never thought of that? So we'll be without excuse. We had a member up in Pennsylvania, he said, we don't use all of our brains right now, and I forget what percentage he said it's proven we use of our brain. He said, so why do we need the rest of it? He said, because when you're before the judgment seat of Christ, your brain is going to be like then it was a VCR player, and your whole life is going to play back. Then no one ever invited me to receive Christ. All these dates, all these opportunities play back. But you don't have to go through that. We can fix that right now. You just need to make a short confession. Let everybody make a confession. Father God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and went to hell in my place. And I believe that after 3 days in hell, God, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart, into my life. I receive you as my Savior. I turn from my past ways, and I turn towards you, and I ask you, make something new of me. Well, folks, if you made that confession for the first time and you meant it, according to the Bible, you just got born again. And we just want to be the first ones to welcome you in and just share some additional information as what the next steps for you are. Because you look down, you're still wearing the same clothes. You don't have a long gray beard. You know, you need to find out just what's the next step for you. Well, we have some anointed deacons here, and they will share with you and give you some free information as to who you've now become. And we found the best way to do that is to ask you to stand and meet with them. They'll take you to a private place and just share with you for a few minutes. Is there anyone here?